So, for the most part, Jesus was a practical preacher. To the farmer, he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground." To the fisherman, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net which was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind." To the carpenter, he said, "Which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" To the housewife, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened." To the businessman, Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And that's my text for this morning. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And with that, I would like to quickly pray before we dig into this. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we just thank you for this text that we can look at this morning. We thank you for the truth of it, and we thank you for the unsearchable riches of Christ that are worth so much more than this entire world. We just pray you would open up our hearts this morning as I endeavor to preach your word. Help me to speak clearly, understandably, and faithfully. Amen. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That question could never be more pertinent than it is today. But it gets drowned out by all the questions of life. While farmers are asking what crop will bring the best profits this year, God is asking, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? While our country is asking who would make the best president, God is asking, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Everywhere we look, people are spending thousands of hours answering all the questions of life. What job should I work? Who should I marry? Where should I live? Should I do this business venture? Should I buy this house? Should I rent? Should I buy a motorcycle or a boat? And after all these questions that people ask and address every day, there's no room left in their minds for the most important question ever uttered on this earth. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Since the beginning of time, man has understood buying and selling. And in this country, we're blessed by a free market system. A businessman buys things and sells them for more than he paid for them. We have flea markets, classifieds in the paper. Then we have Craigslist and eBay. People are buying and selling, and we're so consumed by these questions of what we can buy and sell for more than we bought it for. What can we do to gain a profit? We're so consumed by these that we forget that most important question. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There are 4 important questions a man must take up if he's going to invest in property wisely. 1, can I rightly obtain the title? 2, is it insurable? 3, how have others fared who have owned this property? And 4, is the price reasonable? I want you to imagine that I've been a businessman in real estate all my life, and now I'm an old man. My pockets are full, and I'm going to retire. So I find the perfect property with everything my heart could desire. But I would still need to examine all the records of this property, make sure that there were no liens or unpaid mortgages that I'd get myself all messed up in. Need to make sure that I could obtain a title so I could rightfully hold this property after I had purchased it. When I look at this world, I find it is exactly what a man could want. There is plenty of air to breathe. There is plenty of food to eat. There are mountains to climb. There are rivers to fish. There is fun to be had. There are friends to make. There is money to make. There are things to do, there are goals to reach, There is nothing a human could desire that this world cannot offer. But we got to address a few questions before we purchase this world. Can I obtain a title? You a man, do you know a man could give his soul for this world, and in less than an hour, after he had made the trade, death could come along and say, "Get off this premise. Get off forever." The poor fellow could show his deed of absolute possession, but death is blind and cannot see it. Death is deaf and cannot hear it. Many a man has spent every drop of energy he had till he had finally reached his goals. He went to bed thinking, "I have finally achieved what I'm aiming at. I am a success." And he closed his eyes only to hear the words echo off his stone-cold heart, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" But it's not only the rich who love this world, the poor also. There is many a man who has sold his soul for this world, yet never receives any. He lives in grandma's basement and works for minimum wage. He loves this world and he loves money, yet he never gets any. They who trade this soul for this earth have it bad enough. This poor man traded his soul for a world that he never received. What are riches? What are riches? All the billionaires in hell would combine all their money to buy one drop of water to share if they could. Is that riches? Let me die sick, wounded, and starved like Lazarus. Let me die hungry and wake up eating the tree which grows by the river of God. Let me die naked and cold and wake up resting in the bosom of my dear Savior. I remember Glenn preaching. He turned his pockets inside out, and I got stuff in my pocket so I can't do it. Turned both his pockets inside out. And he said, "I'm rich." And as a 7-year-old boy, I thought that was possibly the dumbest thing he'd ever said. But now, I agree. Now I understand that riches you can possess with empty pockets are the only riches worth having. I am rich. I'm richer than a billionaire. I have more riches than Donald Trump and Bill Gates combined. Their money, however much it is still countable. I possess unsearchable riches of Christ. I possess the unsearchable riches of Christ. And there's a song that Fanny Crosby wrote, "The Unsearchable Riches of Christ." And I tried putting it in our hymn book 2, if not 3 times because I like the words, but the chorus was so unsingable it got kicked out every time. So, you'll have to forgive me for, not being a very good singer. I want to sing this song to you. I've changed it. Make it so that I thought it was singable. So, you'll have to forgive me if I mess this up. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Wealth that can never be told, riches exhaustless of mercy and grace, precious, more precious than gold. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, riches that never will fade, infinite mercy and bountiful love, this is the fortune I've made. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, Who shall their greatness declare? Jewels whose luster our lives may adorn, pearls that the poorest may wear. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, riches that never will fade, infinite mercy and bountiful love, this is the fortune I've made. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, freely, how freely they flow, making the souls of the faithful and true happy wherever they go. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, riches of infinite size, riches of glory and riches of grace, these are the riches I prize. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, who would not gladly endure trials, afflictions, and crosses on earth, riches like these to secure. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, riches of infinite size, riches of glory and riches of grace, these are the riches I prize. There's another question that you would have to take up if you're going to intelligently buy some property. Is it insurable? Take a piece of property that no insurance agent will insure. How much would you expect to sell it for? You might have a hard time giving it away. Take the insurance agent out to your house, and as you walk up the steps to the front door, smoke is billowing out the basement windows. That agent isn't going to sell you insurance. I can't insure this place. The basement's already on fire. Hey, never mind the basement. Won't you insure the upstairs for me? No, I'm getting out. Getting out of here. Science tells us that this world's on fire in the basement. And that fire pokes its head out every so often with volcanoes like Vesuvius, Krakatoa, and Mount St. Helens. And the Bible tells us that this whole earth will be burned. It tells us that the earth will pass away with a great noise. Why? Even if I could obtain a rightful title to this earth, why would I buy it when this earth is uninsurable? There is no way to ensure this earth will be here for another hour. Would I be willing to sell my soul for a world when I can get no insurance policy on it? The world is on fire in the basement, and it's like to be burned up any minute. Another question we need to ask is, how have others fared? The old Brown Street Bakery building has been bought and sold many times. Every time someone starts a business, they go out of business. And I've had people tell me over the years that I should buy it and start some kind of a business. I would have to have a mighty good reason why my business was better than everybody else's before I could buy that place with any wisdom. I know a man who bought a farm, and when all his cattle died, he looked into it and found out that the reason the other man was selling the farm was because the high-tension power lines and the stray voltage was killing his cattle. How have others fared? Well, they who possess this house get buried in the basement. And remember, the basement's already on fire. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. That's how others have fared. They who invest in this earth turn dividends of destruction. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The next question we need to look into is, what is the price? In this past year working construction, I have been in some mansions of houses. I have been in hunting cabins nicer than any home I expect to own. Some of these people don't worry about the price. Like, this is what I want, build it. Yet even those people, there's a line they will not cross. They'll hand over thousands of dollars without batting an eye, but they have a point they will not cross. There are things they will not pay. A rich man might spend half his money to buy a house, but there are things he would not spend. A lawyer might give up his honesty to get rich, but there are things he wouldn't give up. A poor man in trying to get rich would more likely go to some extravagant measures, but even still, there are things he would not do, and there is a line he would not cross. Offer a man legal title to the whole of Oneida County if he would pluck out both of his eyes. How likely you think someone would bite on it? Offer him legal title to every square inch of the United States of America for both of his eyes. You think he would bite on it? How about offer him the entire world? How many takers would you have? There is hardly a man who would trade one eye for riches, much less both of them. Yet the whole world is trading this earth for their soul, which is of far more value than both your eyes. There is no other price that you can pay for this world. You can't keep your soul and have this world too. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Many a man wants to be a Christian, and yet he wants to pursue wealth and prosperity, but the words of Jesus echo over the hills of time. You cannot serve God and money. There are two kinds of riches to pursue, and they are at odds with each other. You either pursue earthly riches, or you pursue the riches of Christ. You cannot pursue both. In your pursuit of Christ, God might bless you, but that is His discretion. You cannot serve God and money. You wouldn't trade your right hand for a large piece of land. Why would you trade your soul for the things of this life? Even though every other person who tried failed, there is no insurance you can get for it. And though you pay your soul, you still can't obtain a legal title. Whatever it is that keeps you out of church and away from God is the price you have put on your soul. It does not have to be riches. It might be hunting and fishing. It might be drinking and dancing. I heard a story of a man who went to a Methodist camp meeting way back, and he was quite moved by the preaching, but he refrained from going forward. When they got home, his wife said, I wish you had gone forward and made right with God tonight. He said, I can't with the business I'm in. He was a saloon keeper. And his wife said, how much does your business make every year? About $2,000. And how many years do you expect to run this business before you die? He said, well, with the natural course of things, I expect to live another 20 years. She said, so, would you sell your soul to the devil for $40,000? He said, no, never. I wouldn't sell my soul for $100,000. I will close my business tomorrow and make right with God. Whatever it is that keeps you out of church and away from God is the price you have put on your soul. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Money ruins people. through the Bible, though the Bible nowhere forbids the use of alcohol, Americans rightfully preach against it because the Bible is so full of warnings about it. But Christians are so permeated by the wealth and prosperity of this country that they miss the fact that the Bible has just as many warnings about money. Isaiah 5:22, "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. And your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." Proverbs 23:20, "Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." Alcohol has slain his thousands, and money his ten thousands. When a man gets drunk on alcohol, his wife, the people in his church, and every upright man he knows comes to him and warns him. Warns him about his ways. When a man gets drunk on money, nobody says a word. The young man quits coming to church on Sunday because he has to work to make more money. One person might somewhere gingerly approach him and admonish him about missing church. But let me warn you, such an action is just as dangerous as stopping at the bar for a drink. There are reasons worth missing church over. Making a little extra money is not one of them. Even worse is when a young person goes off to school in a place where there is no good church. College is a fine thing in its rightful place, not one to preach absolutely against it. But God is not going to call you to a place where there is no church. Higher education is so important in this prosperous land of America, and to these prosperity-duped Americans, that in many cases the parents and the elders of the church encourage a young person to leave for school knowing that there is no fellowship in the place that he's going. It's almost as if many Christians believe it is acceptable to set aside the things of God for a couple years to pursue the things of this life. Americans send their children off to school as if it's the only right thing to do. Education and money is the God and the Redeemer of America. Don't they know that money has sent as many people to hell as alcohol? Jesus didn't say, "How hardly shall the drunk be saved?" Jesus said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" The world, my flesh, most of the church and the devil are all trying to get me to care about money. I've had people tell me, "Ezra, you're a talented young man. Why don't you go to school? You could get a good education. You could get a good job. You could be successful in this life." And I'm not preaching against college today. If someone has a reason to be there, I'm not against it. I can't even say that I would never go. But I would have to be convinced that doing so would serve God more than me before I would go. My unspoken answer to these people when they challenge me in this way about why I haven't gone to college is, I don't care. That's why. First Timothy 6:8, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. I don't care how much money you have as long as money is your servant. And I don't care how little money you have. If you are serving money, you are destined for destruction. The old miser who has accumulated his millions and sits down on them afterwards reminds me of a fly that has fallen into a barrel of molasses, was said by an old Josh Billings. Don't know the guy very well. Billings was right, but he didn't take it far enough. Someday you will find that that molasses was actually tar, and God will set fire to it. Molasses is a good thing when you're in control of it, but when molasses is in control of you, it's a bad thing, and it's the same way with money. Have a little money for your use for the kingdom of heaven, but don't find yourself stuck in a barrel of it. Proverbs 32:4 says, labor not to be rich. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. There are many preachers who preach on money, but they're mostly preaching about how to keep your money by spending it frugally. There are few who would open up to this verse in Proverbs 23:4 and preach, labor not to be rich. Don't lay up money for your children. Generally speaking, if they're people of character, they won't need it. And if they're not, all it will be is a through ticket to hell. Give a man with character a shovel and a pick, and he can support his family and lead them safe to the pearly gates. Give a man $1 million, and unless God's mercy overrules, all it will do is speed him on the highway to hell. Proverbs 1:32, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Sam Jones said, if my father, instead of turning to me on his dying hour to bid me to meet him in heaven, had spent his life in accumulating money and then turned over to me $20,000 at his death, I would likely have been in hell this minute. God bless you, brother, and show your children there is something better than money, better than this world, better than all the surroundings. And show them there is a God and an eternity, and that a good character is worth far more than goods and chattels. Samuel Porter Jones. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I want to take this question further. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But today I want to ask, what profit is it if you gain the world and your neighbor loses his soul? What profit is it if you live in comfort and ease all your life and your children would go to hell? What profit would your money be when you reach the judgment seat and find that not $1 you spent in your life was used to bring a soul to Christ? How will you feel when Christ returns to this earth with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment, and you're one of them, and the earth is as a garden of Eden before you and a desolate wilderness behind this army? And God sends you to burn the very mansion that you spent $1 million to build. Then will you wish you had built a smaller house and spent more money for the kingdom of heaven? You spent more money to reach your neighbors for Christ? Jesus tells the parable of the unjust steward, and I don't understand this parable very well. There's a lot of things in it that confuse me, but I'm going to skim the cream off the top this morning. We find the cream starting in Luke 9, verse 16. 16:9. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. As I said, I don't understand all the details of this parable. If you dig into the depths of it, it gets confusing to me. But Jesus seems to be saying, use your money to make converts. If I were to start wandering off the path of righteousness and start babbling in sin a little, start babbling in the things of the world, beside Timothy and Dale, who do you think would be the first around here to warn me? I think it would be some of the converts sitting over here who still have the vile taste of the world lingering in their mouths. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. I believe that the unspoken truth that Jesus was implying here is that true friends will restore you when you fall. And I have friends here who would do everything in their power to restore me if I failed. And a friend like that is worth more money than the world can buy. Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. I believe that's the cream off the top of this parable. Use your money to make converts. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What profit is it if you gain the whole world and your neighbor loses his soul? Behold, the psalmist writes, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for these truths, and I pray that you would take my few feeble words and sink them into our hearts. Father, I pray that if there's anybody here living for the things of this life and this earth, that today would be a turning point, that they would understand the shortness of this life. That they would understand the riches of Christ are the only riches worth pursuing. Help us, Lord, as we endeavor to live for you. And help us through the rest of this day. Father, be with everybody who speaks. Be with Brandon and be with the open meeting tonight. Father, that everything said would be an honor and a glory to you and would be an encouragement to your people to lift us up and help us in our upward journey. Father, we thank you for your goodness and we praise you for all the blessings you give us. Amen. Let's dismiss.